This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Wow.
Gonna love this one.
They say revolutionaries don't have no fun.
I know that's what they say.
We been having fun.
We been having fun out here.
We waiting on the world to join us.
Black and green.
It's only revolution, baby.
It's only revolution,
baby. Ain't nothing hard about it. You can do it.
Already over there.
It's from a church folk and revolutionaries.
All right. Good evening, everybody. This is Jorge Angulo from the Revolutionary Road Radio Show. I'm by myself tonight. I hope my buddy Crown is doing well in St. Pete. I'm here in studio by downtown Clearwater. It's close enough. At Tan Talk Radio Network, you can hear us at 1340, 1350, and 1400 AM, and 106.1 and 104.3 FM. And you can go to www.tantalknetwork.com. You can listen to us there. We are on Zoom, and we are doing a lot of things tonight. Today is the beginning of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And those of us who live here in Tampa Bay, we are celebrating that. This is our second Stanley Cup finals in a row. Hopefully we'll get a chance to win playing against the Canadiens and their great storied franchise. We're winning 2-1 right now in the second period. I think it's the end of the second period, about to begin the third period. For those of you who are not watching the game, shame on you, but there's still time. Hopefully we'll hang on and finish this game out and start out the series with an important victory. It's kind of funny. I've been living here in Tampa Bay for the Tampa Bay area. Oh my goodness, this is my 25th year. And it is wonderful that we have our three sports franchises doing so well. We got, last year we had two victories in hockey and in football and just missed our World Series. Well, got another year on that and hopefully we will come out on top. This is going to be a show like we've done before. It's a news show. So we're going to go and see what's going on in this country, around the world, and if there's any news locally. So the Lightning playing, that's our sports. You know, we don't talk too much sports here. There's not much to talk about except that it's local, and we love our Lightning, and we don't break down. We don't need to break down anything else on that, but go Bolts. So the first story we're going to talk about today is the sentencing of Derek Chauvin, the police officer who killed George Floyd. Now, this is a kind of a difficult situation because I'll try to present both sides to this. As those of you who have been listening to the show for a while know, I am an attorney, and I have familiarity with the criminal justice system, especially here in Florida. So let's see what happened. On Friday, Chauvin, who's 45 years old, was sentenced to 22.5 years. Now, of course, when you hear that, you're like, most people are very upset because 22.5 years for killing someone does not seem fair. It does not seem fair. But, and this is important to understand, you may be correct, okay? But I just want to, I'm not justifying the sentence in any way, shape, or form. I think that one of the things that a judge considers are two things. I'm sorry, let me repeat that. There are a couple of things that judges consider in sentencing. First, there are mitigators and then aggravators. Now, I believe the lowest, I'm not sure, I can't find it right now, but I believe the lowest sentence that the judge could give him would be around about five years. And the maximum, I believe, now I'm just going, I'm not familiar with Minnesota sentencing, but I read was around 40 years. Now, one of the things that I read was that for somebody who has no prior record, who was found guilty of the crime that Chauvin was, hold on, let me see something here, was found guilty of, is around 12.5 years. That looks like a defendant with no prior record typically serve 12.5 years in prison for such a conviction. It's second-degree murder conviction. Now, I will tell you, here in the state of Florida, you kill someone, you're going to get life, 30 years to life. Now, and in Florida, an aggravating factor, and just like anywhere, is the fact that he's a police officer. That's an aggravating factor because police officers are not supposed to break the law. And the way that he did this, the way this murder was done, in which there were so many witnesses, it was so blatant, there was no need for this act. It almost united the country in its horrendousness. It was almost universal that this act was disgusting, was brutal. And so the judge, Peter Cahill, found that the aggravating factors would call for a longer sentence. So here's an article from The Insider. And one of the things that it says is that Judge Peter Cahill ruled Wednesday that aggravating factors at the scene of Floyd's death warrant a sentence for Chauvin that goes beyond the terms laid out by the state sentencing guidelines. Now, sentencing guidelines is usually a formula that all states come up with that asks for a minimum. And sometimes they give ranges of what's acceptable. And in order to go over that, I think Minnesota is set up so that if he wants his sentence, a defendant, beyond the top end of the recommendations, he has to actually lay out what are the aggravating factors that warrant a higher sentence. So on Wednesdays when he said that, and the sentence came in on Friday, Chauvin will be sentenced on the most serious charge, which is second-degree murder. The average prison sentence, as I said before, is 12.5 years. Going above and beyond guidelines, called an upward sentencing departure, can be granted when a judge or jury finds there were special circumstances that justify lengthier term. In court filings, prosecutors noted that there were five aggregating factors at play. Floyd's murder happened in the presence of children, as young as 9 years old. Floyd was particularly vulnerable because he was handcuffed. Chauvin treated Floyd with particular cruelty. Chauvin abused his position of authority. And Chauvin and the other officers on scene acted as a group. Meaning nobody on scene acted with any courage. There is no defending this murderer. What he did was horrible. Cahill agreed with those factors that were presented by the prosecutors. Now, here's something interesting that I did not know, was that Chauvin could have chosen to have a jury decide on the motion of reducing or the charges. But on the day of closing arguments in the murder trial, he waived his right to do so requesting that the judge do it instead. That's interesting. We don't know how the jury would have ruled on that. But we know that the... Now, so if the maximum is 40 and he got 22.5, why didn't he get 40? And again, I'm not justifying. I would have given him 40 because the fact that it's not even, you know, let me go back. I think the abuse of position of authority is something that is horrendous. Because police officers, and this is the whole problem with minorities and authority, is the abuse of the authority figures. For, oh my goodness, for centuries now, the authorities, especially the police, have abused their position against minorities and especially African Americans. And so last year in the murder of George Floyd, so many Americans were able to see the injustice that happens in African American communities on a consistent, regular basis. I have friends who should know better that this has been continuous, regardless of whether it is caught on video. But there are too many people in America who did not believe that these things were happening. And now I'm going to say it, that it is not just the killing of individuals, of people of color, that is important, because it goes beyond the killing. The idea of police brutality, police harassment, is still going on. It is still happening, which is why we want to get rid of the way, or let me say, look, you guys know that here on this show, we take positions that are not in, you're not going to see it on commercial media. This is the only radio station in town that's going, you're going to hear these positions. We are the radical left. We do not hold to anything mainstream. And one of the positions that some of us have here is we do not believe in regular policing. There's too many times that harassment happens. We believe communities should have within them the opportunity to police themselves and have the police only for serious matters. Only for serious matters. The incident that George Floyd was found himself in was not a serious matter, and the use of force was completely exaggerated. How do we know that? Because the police officer killed him. That is a tragedy. And so this sentence here is not going to make anybody happy on the right. There's a lot of concern, not a lot, but some people on the right believe that this is going to be too harsh of a sentence for a police officer whose only bad act is the killing of somebody that, in their eyes, is a throwaway human being. But on the some people who are liberals and those of us on the left do not believe that 22.5 years sends a strong message. But it is above the average sentence for somebody like Derek Chauvin, who was a police officer with no prior record of criminal acts. But again, he should have higher. And so anything higher than 12.5 is a victory, and it's basically 10 more years. I don't know how long he will do. 22, if he has to do the full 22, He'll get out when he's around 67 years old. But there's no way that George Floyd's family would ever be able to receive justice. All right. So that's the Derek Chauvin situation. Now, I want to jump to the death toll, what happened in the Miami condo collapse. Right now, the death toll is 11 people, and that just means confirmed. I'm reading out of The Hill, and it says here, the recovery of another body on Monday brings the death toll to 11, while another 150 are still missing after the collapse. So they're still looking, and they're being very careful not to say, and it's what they should do, not to say that even though the death toll might be as high as 150, they've got to make sure, because the chance of there being more people alive in the rubble, it goes down as each hour passes, and this is a tragedy. This is a tragedy of the way things are in our system. When this is all said and done, what you're going to find out is that people knew about this situation. People knew that there was this dangerous situation. People knew, people cut corners in the building. There was money passed on from the builder to the contractors to the, just everything. I'm sure this is all going to come out over the next several months after. But this is a horrible tragedy, and it could have been avoided, but our system doesn't allow for such things because our system is built upon these sort of things. People's lives don't matter. What's important is wealth and greed and the trappings of success. That's what this country has been built on, and that's what this will definitely show when all things are said and done. Now, on the side, a little bit happier news, while we're watching the game, the Tampa Bay Lightning has scored another goal and lead in the third period, 3-1. So that's really good. Now, another thing I want to talk about is Ron DeSantis, who has signed a strange law that is basically the newest example of fascist right-wing thinking, talking about people registering their political, religious beliefs. This is a really strange story. I mean, I can't even tell you how this makes any sense. It's requiring students and faculty to be asked their political beliefs. This law goes into effect this Thursday. I mean, this is ridiculous. The legislation will require public universities to survey students and staff annually about their beliefs to assess, quote unquote, viewpoint diversity on campuses. In other words, it's a way for the government to see how people are thinking in order to create thought police. Now, the bill does not specifically say what will be done with survey results, but DeSantis suggested budget cuts could be imminent if universities and colleges are found to be, quote unquote, indoctrinating students. Now, people have said that there's the famous saying that truth has a liberal bias, mainly because so many of right-wing and fascist ideology is built on propaganda. And so the more you learn in things such as philosophy, history, science, and technology leads to critical thinking and leads to research. So if you can do those two things, be a critical thinker and know how to research, you'll be able to see through many lies. So diversity of viewpoint, does that mean that socialism and communism are going to be taught in public universities here in Florida? What does that mean? Because these are not really big ideas in Florida universities or in Florida in general. So here's something that he says. This is what DeSantis said. We obviously want our universities to be focused on critical thinking, academic rigor. We do not want them as basically hotbeds for stale ideology. It used to be thought that a university campus was a place where you'd be exposed to a lot of different ideas. Unfortunately, now the norm is these are more intellectually repressive environments. Huh, what does that mean? Because here's the code for him and the people that elected him and all the people who in general, not specifically, support him. It is if you don't believe that America is the greatest nation in the world and that we are the last great hope for the planet Earth and that our form of capitalism is the greatest economic system in the world, then you are indoctrinated. Because if you believe in quote-unquote critical race theory, then you have been indoctrinated and you are a puppet of Marxist, even though Marxists aren't really into critical race theory since Marxism is an economic theory. And then there's the strange ideas that some certain people have. Social Marxism, something bizarre like that. Yeah. So the people who are pushing this are, by their very actions, believe in thought control. And this is a way to make sure that people are not free to think. Because the government has no business knowing what you think. So anybody who supports this, you're supporting a fascist ideology. This is completely disgusting. It is a completely disgusting bill. Welcome to the new normal. What is the purpose of this? I mean, almost in most situations, when I talk to people and don't use terms like communism or socialism or Christian socialism or anything like that, or liberation theology, and just talk about ideas and the impact of ideas and the history of these ideas, the majority of people that I have spoken to will always say, wow, that's really good. And then after we're done with the conversation and I tell them, congratulations, you are now a socialist, they're shocked. Because point by point, fact by fact, it's irrational to be a capitalist. Because if you like poverty, if you like the destruction of your environment, and if you like a few people controlling the media, if you like a few people controlling and owning your government, and keep the system that you have. But if you want people to have jobs with dignity, if you want people's needs met, you're going to look at socialism and communism. But it's failed everywhere it's gone. Again, those are tropes. When you look at the history of capitalism throughout the world, hey, you'll see Haiti is a capitalist country. Russia is a capitalist country. Yeah, Russia right now is a capitalist country. Somalia is a capitalist country. Huh. Remember the Great Depression? At that time, before the Great Depression, the United States was a free market American libertarian society where 70% of the United States lived in poverty. People don't realize that. People think that, oh, you know, we've always had the ridiculous idea of how the other half lives. No, sir. The other half have been poor and poorer. Very few people in this country actually make money. It's always been that way. And unless we change something, it's always going to be that way. There was only one time in the history of the United States where economic growth was reached by almost every sector of society. And when was that? That was basically from 1944 to around 1974. It was during those 30 years that the great middle class of America was created. And why was that? Well, because so-called social democratic reforms of our economy took place to combat the Great Depression. Now, it wasn't a total success. There were things that needed to go further. Social democracy is not socialism. It is a reform of capitalism, but it is still capitalism. Now, once Ronald Reagan was elected, every single president since Ronald Reagan has been a capitalist. Now, every Republican since including Ronald Reagan, has held to a form of capitalism that 100% only benefits the extreme wealthy, mainly the 0.01% of Americans. Ronald Reagan cut taxes on those people, on those corporations, thus lowering their share of being part of America and stealing money from the nation. So anyway, long story. This is a big tangent. Basically what I'm saying is these ideas that Ron DeSantis and his friends are trying to push are ideas of indoctrination to stop people from thinking critically. So when you go to university and you start thinking about things and you start learning about history and you start seeing how, hey, all the evidence of the Civil War, the reasons for the Civil War, oh my gosh, it was the protection of slavery. There was no idea of states' rights. The idea of states' rights back then was not really liked because if a state was allowed to do whatever it wanted to do, that meant when slaves escaped from one state to another state, let's say from Georgia to Massachusetts, Massachusetts didn't have to obey the federal law of the Fugitive Slave Act. That was one of the reasons for the Civil War. In order to protect slavery, you couldn't have states' rights because the free states didn't want to return the freed slaves, the freed human beings. They didn't want that to happen. So that's right. Those states that went against our nation were traitors to the United States, were against states' rights. Oh my gosh. But anyway, that's the kind of thing you learn when you learn about history, when you read original documents, when you read why South Carolina, Mississippi, Alabama, so on and so on, decided to secede from the Union. But if you're just going to read a state-sanctioned textbook in high school and don't learn from that, you know, in a university, and you know, and then all of a sudden, you know what? You're not a Republican anymore. You're not a Democrat anymore, and you become you become part of the Green Party, or you become part of the Democratic Socialists of America, or oh my goodness, you become part of the Communist Party. You know, that's indoctrination. That's indoctrination. So, anyway. Yeah, this is completely Orwellian, what DeSantis is doing. And hopefully we'll kick him out of office. Let's see, I guess it's in 2 years. Yeah, in 2 years. And we'll never have to hear about this guy again. Because he is just ramping up his chance to run for president. But any thinking, free individual who actually understands that our Constitution is very limited and we want a better country, a better society, we need to reject Ron DeSantis. You want a better, you want to get rid of Florida Man? We need to get rid of Ron DeSantis. He is one of the worst governors in the history of the state of Florida, and that's saying a lot. All right, update on the game. Tampa Bay has scored another goal. Again, if you can hear my voice, all three of you or how many are out there, watch the game. The Tampa Bay Lightning are leading 4-2-1 with about 7 minutes left, so this game is pretty much in the bag. Pretty much in the bag. So that's a great victory for us. Oh, before I forget, today is my son's birthday, Juan Carlos, who is probably asleep right now. Happy birthday. He is now 10 years old. All right, some bad news, which, you know, we like to cover here. Again, this is out of the Washington Post. Canada sets record temperature of almost 116 degrees amid heat wave. Forecasts of even hotter weather. That is not good news. There's a little village called Lytton in British Columbia. It became the first place in Canada to ever record a temperature of over 113 degrees on Sunday. And experts are predicting even hotter weather to come. The temperature in Lytton soared to just under 116 degrees on Sunday, according to Environment Canada, a government weather agency. The Washington Post Capital Weather Gang noted that is just 1 degree lower than the city record in Las Vegas. The previous Canadian record for the hottest temperature, both 113 degrees, were set in Yellow Grass and Middale in Saskatchewan on July 5th, 1937. This is a nightmare. Our society, this world is just not, capitalism is destroying the earth. And yes, global warming, global climate change is for real. And you got to get on board. Even Joe Rogan believes in it. Or I'm not going to say believe. Even Joe Rogan understands it. This is not a question of belief. It's a question of acceptance. Either accept the truth or you don't. That's all I got to say about that right now. Here's a story out of New York Times. Now, before I begin, let me give you some background. So, Florida is a great example. COVID is a very serious pandemic. It's the most serious pandemic that this world has faced since I've been alive. And this is my 55th year on the planet. I've never been through anything like that. The generation after me, we need to apologize to them because they have gone through more garbage than any generation since the so-called greatest generation. My generation, and definitely the baby boomers, have messed up the world for them. Have just completely messed up the world. They have faced, in this country, this is the 20th year in a row of major war that the United States has been in. So if you grew up, if you were like 5 or 6 and maybe, let's just say, before entering high school, you're in middle school in 2001, and now you're in your 30s, my generation needs to apologize to you because we handed you garbage. But then again, we were handed garbage, and we gave you more garbage. Continuous war, the destruction of the economy. It looks like it's, we ran into recession last February, and the ineptitude of our government made it even worse. And so the pandemic. No state in this union handled the pandemic well. Now, Florida was one of the states that handled it terribly. We are not a very densely populated state. The most densely populated county is here in Pinellas County. And yet, if our state was a nation, we would be in the top 15. If you compare Florida, which has around 23, 24 million people, we would be in the top 10 now of all cases. That goes for all our large states. So in this order, it is California, Texas, Florida, and New York. New York is the most densely populated, New York City is the most densely populated city in the United States. It is about one-third the population of New York City is one-third of that of Florida. I mean, think about that. And, of course, because it's such densely populated and the international travel and the fact that we were not keeping a track of anything, we had no mandates for masks or anything like that. We had a lot of the New York had a lot of cases, a lot of deaths because it quickly passed on. Of course, there were, Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio did a horrible job. But here in Florida, while everybody was freaking out about the pandemic, we opened up, we closed late and opened up early. I believe it was Memorial Day weekend last year. In 2020, that we reopened after just about about 7-8 weeks of quote unquote closing down. And we opened up, we were supposed to flatten a curve. We did not flatten a curve. We opened up with at 75% of our high. And then everybody was like, this just not smell right. And of course, those of us who said, this is serious. Unfortunately, we were proven correct. We know that the DeSantis government has been corrupt in their numbers. And We'll learn about it in a couple of years, about how horrible he handled it completely. When it turns out we had closer to 3 million cases and 50,000 dead. Because all the numbers here in Florida are suspect. Because the governor asked to rig the numbers so that Florida would go to Trump. Because he knew that everybody was handling it terribly. And since they were handling it terribly, that's going to affect the outcome. Because people don't want to die. People don't want to get sick. But stupidity, ignorance reigns in areas where they do not pay attention, where they don't care, where they have beliefs. And so this story out of the New York Times, and you can say it's biased or whatever, but it is factually correct that Red America has a COVID problem. Cases are rising because of this new Delta variant. So I'll just read part of it. There was a strange COVID-19 pattern in the U.S. for much of the spring. The virus was not spreading any faster in communities with low vaccination rates than in those with high vaccination rates. How could this have been? There were probably a few reasons. Many less vaccinated areas were in the South, where warm spring weather allowed people to socialize in the relatively safety of the outdoors. And that is important. Natural immunity might also have played a role because people who have already had this coronavirus have at least some degree of protection against it, but not much. The pattern helped feed an impression among some Americans that COVID was in retreat, regardless of how much progress the community had made getting shots into arms. In one poll of Tennessee residents last month, 51% agreed with the statement that the COVID-19 pandemic is largely over. It is not, by the way. But the panic isn't over. COVID remains a serious threat to unvaccinated adults, especially those middle-aged or older. And let's be honest, middle-aged in America is basically 35. And now the surprising trends from the spring may be coming to an end. Cases have begun to rise more rapidly in communities with lower vaccination rates. Science. As Ben Shapiro likes to say, and many of my conservative friends, facts don't care about your feelings. So, you know, they provide a chart talking about the lower the percentage, the higher the vaccination rates. Let me tell you something. That here in Florida, we had enough vaccines for about 70% of Floridians for both vaccines. When I first became eligible for the vaccine, I had to go online and register and find the place that would take me. And so when I went, now, it didn't take very long, but there were police escorts. There was a long line. It was very efficient, and so everything was full. But weirdly, to get the second shot, now, you're supposed to get the second shot, and it should be around the same time. So if I'm in a place that has about 200 people who have gotten their shots at the same time as me, then you would expect that the second shot would be relatively the same amount of people. No. There were no police escorts. There was nobody there. There were about 30 people getting their shot. I don't even know if it was their second shot. But there was relatively nobody there. Well, when you go and check, Florida reach 50% of fully vaccinated people quickly. But it has stayed there. And the science is out. And especially in places where, now Florida is a purple state. And so you would think it'd be a little bit higher. But, you know, 54 to 60%. So basically, people from Democrats and anybody on the left. Again, Democrats are not the left, but those of us who are on the left understand science better than people on the right. So let me read this. Red America's problem. There's a political angle to these trends of vaccination rates. The places with the lowest vaccination rates tend to be heavily Republican. In an average U.S. county that voted for Donald Trump, only 34% of the people are fully vaccinated, according to the New York Times data. In an average county that voted for Joe Biden, the share is 45%, still terrible. No wonder, then, that the number of new cases keep falling in Biden counties, while it has begun to rise in Trump counties. Listen, my Republican friends, which are probably non-existent, I'd be really surprised if anybody voted for, is a Republican listening to this show. But if you know someone who is a Republican and hasn't gotten vaccinated, you tell them your leader, Donald Trump, got vaccinated. And this was the thing that he pushed. Vaccination over safety. This is what he pushed for. It comes from his support. So, yeah, you need to think about that. Get vaccinated, people. It works. It works. Now we're running out of time. So let me give you another update on the Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup game, the first game of the series. And we are up 4-1 with a minute 44 seconds left. So, yes, we will win this game. It's going to put us up 1-0. And hopefully you will be celebrating by the end of the week. And, you know, let's not get into anything that's sad. And we got a lot of things going on here to distract us. But look, this is a show that deals with hard subjects. This is a show that deals with the truth. And we deal with ideas that normally you're not going to hear. And I know we usually don't talk about sports or anything like that. And sometimes when we analyze the news, we'd love to criticize the government. And that's important. But we believe in hope. And we know that things such as sports inspires. And it is fantastic that our local teams are excellent at what they do. And sometimes, you know, we can use that as an analogy. And so I've got another update on the Tampa Bay Lightning as we're winding down the show before we end the show with a crown song about my good friend Bruce Wright. The Tampa Bay Lightning scored another goal. My goodness, a rout of the Montreal Canadiens. I'm sorry, my Canadian brothers, but I know it's strange to see Floridians winning, but we are destroying you 5-1, and it bodes well for us because we are a great team, and it's over. 30 seconds now. But yeah, we won this game big. Great defense, great offense. And one down, 3 to go. Go Lightning. And with that, we'd like to close the show with Crown Song. It's a wonderful song. And peace out and have a great week.
Stand up to the cops. He preached peace and love to all of the above. And no one can ever take that lesson from us.
Speak it. Wow.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
To be a people's person and
Reverend
do the work
Wright.
Of God, I've come to the conclusion
yes.
You have to be these things.
You have to be these things.
fool. You have to have some boldness. You have to be radical. You have to have unity with the people. You have to have courage. And you simply have to be everyone, as the Bible tells us.
Say that again.
That's Bruce.
Boldness and radical.
Courage. Thank you, Rebel, for this beat.
Boldness and radical.
Thank you, Christina. Michael. Thank you, Barbara. We want to talk about Bruce for a second.
And radical and
because he belongs to you,
everyone.
He also belongs to the people. He made it that way, you know. It just so happened to be that. God made it that way, too. Y'all believe that? Let's receive that. I walk with the man, talk with the man. So I don't really need much feedback. Nah, that's the truth. Bruce, this one's for you. Bruce, while you rest in power, just keep the fight in each of you. Each of you. St. Pete for peace.
St. Pete for peace.
Veterans for peace. Homeless, keep the fight. Never cease. Never cease. Green Party. Never stop. Food first. Food first. Not bombs, they should never drop. International League of the People struggle day and night. My place in recovery, trying to help the people get it right. Refuge Ministry,
Extinction Rebellion,
Refuge Beat, Poor People's
Society, Revolutionary Road,
y'all know a whole lot about it.
Boldness and radical and reality encourage everyone. There was a man named Boldness and radical and reality encourage everyone.
Rest in power.
There was a man named Boldness and radical and reality encourage everyone.
You have to have these things.
There's still a man named
Boldness. If you are for the people,
radical and reality encourage everyone.
Remove yourself. International Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign.
There's still a man named Bruce.
All over the world.
That's real. You know Bruce, man.
You know Bruce.
You've been invited all the way around the nation. RNC, DNC, fight. I remember him getting out of the hospital with bloody feet, swollen feet. Talking about Martin Philly, Miles,
Virginia.
For Fight for 15,
Wisconsin.
And if you've been keeping up on the times, you know that's a successful campaign.
Rebel Diaz, Immortal Technique,
Untold, and Untold.
Yes.
Tracy. Working with people like Pedro
El Poeta.
Oh, man.
Tracy P.
It's been a beautiful journey.
Barbara and Brooklyn, Jorge, Revolutionary Road, so many other people. It's been a beautiful journey.
And it doesn't stop.
God is good.
Everyone.
We appreciate
There's
your presence.
Still a man named Bruce.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.